Hey friends, Dan with Holy Spirit Soapbox. I hope you are doing well today. I was reminiscing the other day. I was thinking about Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Have you ever seen that movie? Now, I was a kid when I first watched that movie, and I watched it, I don't know how many times. And man, did I want to go to that place, to his factory, and try all the chocolates and all the candy. Shoot, I still want to go and try all the chocolates and all the candy. I'm not lying to you. Like the chocolate river, right, that Augustus got sucked into and he got stuck in the tube and all this weird stuff. I want to try all the food. I don't want to get sucked up in the tube, but I want to try all the food. I want to try all the candy and the chocolates. Man, I love sweets. And I remember it seemed like this huge, amazing thing when you found that golden ticket. Finally, you find the golden ticket when you get the chocolate bar. And people like Charlie and Augustus and their parents and grandparents were so excited when they got the ticket. I remember what the grandfather, he gets up and he starts walking. I don't know. He hasn't walked in like, you know, 50 years or whatever it was. And he gets up and he's so excited that he was able to walk again. And listen, I would be too. I couldn't imagine getting this golden ticket to like this magical place that I've heard so much about. Or can I? Heaven, I'm sure you've heard of the place, right? This is the place we hear about in the Bible and from other people. And we dream about this place called heaven because it sounds like the chocolate factory, but like a million, trillion, billion, infinitely times better, right? And it is. Now let's paint the picture using the Bible. So after the man that's next to Jesus on his cross repents, Jesus says to him in Luke 23:43, and he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Paradise. We describe paradise on earth according to our own views of beauty. So some see paradise as a pristine white sand beach. Some see paradise in the mountains with a little snow and some cool animals walking by. Now either way, paradise is used here, meaning there's some kind of place that we'll all find to be the essence of paradise, or the nature of paradise. In John 14:2, it says this, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" Now, this is really interesting. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:1-5. This is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth, and he says this, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." Now essentially what Paul is saying here is we are vessels for a consciousness that we're given here on earth. The Spirit is deposited into our vessels so that we can walk in that same Spirit. Now Paul calls our vessels, or these current earthly bodies, tents. But Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Now, that's interesting. How can there be mansions inside of a house? Well, this implies that when our bodies are old and dead and they're just rotting away here on earth, you can't do what you used to be able to do, God lovingly will take up this consciousness, or what people like to call our souls, and place them into something much better. It's a mansion compared to a tent. It's something that's just so much better that we can't even fathom. Now, does that mean we're going to have a body? Because mansions still rot away. No. It's going to be a brand new heavenly body that cannot rot away, that cannot die. Now, homes on earth are technically built by human hands, right? Even though God gave us all the products, all the things that we can utilize on earth, they are still built by human hands. They're a dwelling that we build. But he says, but Paul says, these are not built by human hands. So they can't die. They're built by God's hands. And this body is guaranteed to us. Why? because we're sealed by His Holy Spirit. So, if you're going through something physical right now, you know, some kind of ailment, or if your body is just not what it used to be, mine certainly is not, right? You have this quote-unquote mansion body prepared for you in heaven, where there is just no more pain and no more suffering. Doesn't that sound amazing? And Jesus says, I wouldn't have told you this if it's not so. All right, let's keep going. In Revelation 20 to 22, these are chapters 20 to 22, we hear of several descriptions of heaven. And there's no more darkness, right? There is the tree that bears 12 types of fruits. There's a river that does not run dry. It will be this beautiful city. The gates are giant pearls. There are all sorts of gems and jewels, including gold streets. The gates are never shut because there's no more evil. There's no more darkness. Now, we can speculate how much of this is actual physical stuff and what is actual metaphorical stuff. But the point is, we all have the ability to accept the golden ticket. If you're curious about what heaven's going to look like, well, guess what, friend? You can go. You can find that out. Now, unfortunately, so many people, even those that say they're believers, think they have to search for the golden ticket. That they have to go out and they have to search for it. That they have to earn it in some way. They believe they have to buy into it. Or maybe buy chocolate bars or something to hopefully one day get the ticket. In Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, that was the case. But in this real life, believe it or not, it is not the case. Now, throughout the whole New Testament, Jesus explains and confirms that He is the golden ticket. Now, everybody on earth can have the ticket, whether they are newborns or on their deathbed. Everyone has the ability to accept the ticket if they believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior and died on the cross but resurrected again. Now, I said newborns. I mean, ultimately, it comes to the age of reason. But essentially, what I mean is every person, Jew and Gentile, has this opportunity. Now, some people, over time, lose their ticket. Some shred it, and they try to throw out their ticket. Some put it somewhere to come back to one day, if they can even get back to it before they die. Some don't even know they have the ability to have the ticket. But some cherish the ticket, and take care of that ticket, and tell others about the ticket. When all is said and done, this is an opt-in or opt-out type of thing. With the chocolate factory, the people that got the golden ticket, they were able to keep it or give it away. Now, most of them cherished it, and they joyfully anticipated their visit to the factory. Joyfully anticipated. If you haven't listened to it, listen to Vorfreude. That's an episode we did a while ago about joyful anticipation. But they could choose to go or choose not to go. The difference here is we can't just go back to our normal everyday life if we opt out. We do all pass away here on earth, believe it or not. You have a short time to stop thinking about the factory or paradise and just go along with whatever your business is. But at the end of it all, we have to choose if we want to go or not. This ticket is a place we all have to stand in front of. We can be let in, or it could be left out based on our own choice. It would behoove us or benefit us to think eternally and be eternal. God would have never stepped on our earth in the flesh to tell us how amazing this place is if it wasn't amazing. This ticket is for the greatest place the world has never seen yet. And you have the ability to accept it. You and I have the ticket to the greatest place ever. Is that exciting for you? How does that make you feel inside? We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the ticket we can disregard or toss out and throw away, only to miss out on the greatest place we can only dream about. Or we can cherish the ticket. We can love the ticket. We can hold on to it with this hope and then tell the world of the ticket, the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves us so much, He wanted us to be able to enjoy this beautiful place forever. Now, I want you to meditate, really, really meditate on Revelation chapters 20 to 22. Meditation isn't just reading. Meditation is reading the verses of the Bible intently. And you have to read it with context. And you have to really soak it in. Pray after each verse. Take your time. I'm not going to read all those verses here. But it starts with the serpent being bound. Then it describes some aspects of this new city and the new world. Now, as always, please don't get caught up in the revelation for end times prophecies. Revelation is a past, present, and future story. This is what's going on. It's describing things from a spiritual and physical standpoint. It's not meant for us to estimate when the end times will be. It's meant to deepen our love for God and ready us in this life with hope, joy, peace, and love. We really want to help everybody deepen their relationship with God. We want everybody to look at Him as the Creator, have some reverence, and have some appreciation and gratitude for the Creator of the entire universe to, for lack of a better term, go out of His way, out of love, to come into our mess, to come into all the things that cause for us to have sadness and lamentation, and then die for all that, to give us an opportunity to go to a place that we don't deserve to be in. Jesus is amazing. Let's not go back to the ticket at a different time, or focus so much on our business of our day-to-day and just walk around kind of blindly or half-heartedly following Christ? Why would we half-heartedly love God when He full-heartedly loved us? And He continues to full-heartedly love us. Now, I have a few questions here, and then we'll close out in prayer. Question number one, if you're a believer, how did you respond when you found out you have the ability to accept the ticket? What was your response to that? If you're not a believer, how does it feel to know that you can also have the ticket, no matter where you are in life? Question two, how have you treated the gift of the ticket throughout your life? Doesn't matter if you're a believer or non-believer right now. Everybody's been given the ticket. Everybody's been given the opportunity to have the ticket. How have you treated it throughout your life? And question three, how can you help participate with the owner of the place, or God, to help others know they also have the ticket? I thank you so much, and I love you so much. And this is why we do this podcast, is because we want to make sure everybody is centered back on God. The world is rough. I will not lie. We've been having some weird things happen in our lives that required a lot of prayer and meditation and trust. The world can be tough, folks. But guess what? Jesus Christ overcame the world. And we will be going to that place called heaven, which is way better than that chocolate factory. Now I invite you to take your prayer posture and let's talk to that Creator, the owner of heaven. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the ticket into heaven, who is Jesus Christ, that we all have to put our faith into, we have to put our full trust into, and all of our love into. And we thank you so much for giving him to us, for you to come in the flesh when you didn't need to, because you felt that it was not enough for us to just walk blindly here on earth as we went our own ways and we walked away from you. You didn't want for us to be lost forever. You want us with you because you love us. And we want to love you and love others the same way, as much as we can. We thank you so much for the opportunity to even envision what your heaven looks like, and how amazing it's going to be with you forever. We don't want to take our eyes off you. And we pray that when we do, that you lead us back that you tell us that everything's going to be okay and that we will be able to spend eternity with you. We thank you for all that you do in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.